Stand and take your Bibles now. Go to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. If you're wondering, that's after 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, verses 12 through 18. This morning we'll read responsively. I'll read verse number 12. Well, you'll join me on verse 13 all the way through the end of the chapter, verse number 18. Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, beginning in verse number 12, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number, or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves, and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reached not unto you. For we come as far as to you, also in preaching the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of an immense labor, but having hope, when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." Let's finish off together verse number 18. "For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you again, Lord, for the opportunity we get to be here. Lord, what a joy it is to be in your house once again. Lord, thank you for allowing us to have the ability to get here today. Lord, thank you for those that made the travel here. Lord, please bless our time here. Fill our pastor with your Holy Spirit as he preaches. May our hearts be in tune with that same Holy Spirit, and may our mind be focused on the truth that's presented here this morning. We'll ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. I want you to keep your Bibles open. We're going to use them, but I'm going to need your minds, and I'm going to ask a few of you to help me in a little while. I'm going to ask some men to help me. Don't worry, I won't make you say anything. You just have to stand up here and look ugly like you normally do. So let me help you today. I really want to take your Christianity and elevate you to another level. And if you'll listen to me today, as you grow and as our church grows, it will help both you and our church and the people that will be added to our church. Now, all of us have a story to tell. Each and every human being grows up a little differently. Even those in the same family grow up differently. Brother Stansberry, you've got two of your children sitting there with you. And though they're close in age, and one's a boy, one's a girl, even in the same household, they don't grow up the same way. Sometimes you wonder if they have the same parents. I had three of them and wondered, how could they all three be aliens, you know? But they were. None of them are the same. And even though you have general guidelines by which you rear your children, none of them come up exactly the same. They don't turn out the same. Children grow up differently even from their parents. You say, why? Because they don't have the same parents you had. People are not like a robot or a computer or a piece of equipment that you produce that functions the same way. Let me make that statement again. People are not produced. Now, listen to me very carefully. If we're not careful, we as Christians think we ought to produce Christians that are exactly the same. Sure. And that's not fair. Sure. When I was in Bible college, I worked in a machine shop, and we produced parts and equipment for fire hose nozzles. We made fire hose nozzles. Now, I ran what they call CNC lathes, the computer pneumatic control lathes. And I would run parts for 8 hours. Sometimes we would be running some parts for many different sizes of nozzles, but I would be running on this machine these parts in that part alone. Sometimes I would be running parts for three different nozzles by running three different machines, even though it may have been a very similar part. They were different per whichever nozzle you were running. And those parts were run with very tight specs. You say, what do you mean? If you have hair, if you pulled one out, most people, an average human hair is about 7/1000ths of an inch thick. All right. If you cut that hair in seven pieces, our parts were run within 3/5000ths of plus or minus exact tolerance. So if you took a human hair, cut it in seven pieces, take three pieces of that and lay it aside, that's how close every part on that machine had to be run. You have special micrometers that you gauge them with, and every so many parts, and if there was grooves in it and different things, you had to measure all those different parts. And every couple parts, you do the OD, you do the ID, you do the grooves and different stages of that, make sure your tools are hitting it exactly right. And if they're off, you have to readjust your machine. As the tool wore down, you had to keep doing that and making sure that each part was just about exact on every piece. And that was important. You say, why? I'll explain it to you like it was explained to me. You make that part wrong, you're risking the fireman's life when he walks into that fire with that fire hose nozzle. Right. You looked at every part as though you were rescuing somebody's life. Mm-hmm. It put a new perspective on things for me. You say, well, it's just a little piece. That one little piece could mean life and death to some fireman. And but what you have to understand is we would make anywhere from a few hundred parts to as many as 5 or 10,000 parts of the same part before we would go on and change the machine to the next part. Now, that means this. Those parts were being made as close to being exactly the same as humanly possible. We would take those and they would go to the assembly area and they would take those parts and assemble them, make the fire hose nozzles, and our fire hose nozzles, every one of them was tested in-house in the shop while we were there. Once they passed all those tests, then they were shipped off to be purchased by people who ordered them. Now, each model of nozzle was exactly like in that model. That means this: if you lined up 1,000 fire hose nozzles of the, let's say the 100s, every one of those 1,000 nozzles would be the same. What little difference there was negligible, plus or minus 1/2 or 3/1000ths of an inch on every part. They would perform the same. They had the same standards of performance, everything. They looked the same. You couldn't tell one from another. People are not like this. God did not make us to be identical. Christianity, therefore, is not to be like this either. Because no two people are the same, Christianity is not going to be identical from person to person. And listen to this very carefully. God tells us here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 that we are not to look around and expect everyone to be and to think exactly like we are. Say why? Because no two people are the same. Just like I don't expect my son Josh and my son Jeff and my daughter Melinda to be exactly the same, especially Melinda, I don't expect them to be the same, even though they're, by the way, they're all three human beings. But they're different. And if we're not careful, we as Christians, no two Christians are going to be exactly alike because people aren't produced, they're grown. We are to grow as Christians, not be produced as Christians. And be careful as you look at one another, saying, well, they ought to know better. Wait a minute. That's trying to produce Christianity, not grow Christianity. Yes, your children grow up and they learn the rules and things, but then they become junior hires and their brain rolls out their ear. The only difference between a 3-year-old and a 13-year-old is 10 years. They walk the same, talk the same, think the same, and act the same. Trust me. All of a sudden, something happens. They wake up one morning and their brain fell out on their pillow and they can't find it. And it takes a few years before they find it again. You think, did I teach them anything during those first 10, 13 years? You did, and it'll catch back up maybe eventually. Now, in other words, people are not supposed to be a production line. They're supposed to be grown. God tells us here in 2 Corinthians 10 not to compare ourselves among ourselves. In other words, Brother Josh, stand up here for a moment. Even though this is my son, unfortunately for his sake, even though we may look much alike, we're not the same. I'm smarter and better looking than him. I have more wisdom than he. And I have the microphone and he doesn't right now. Thank you. You can have a seat. We're not the same. I am not to compare myself to him, nor is he to compare himself to I. Did you know he grew up much differently than I did? He grew up in a preacher's home. I didn't. He has a different mama and daddy than I had. You know that my dad didn't get saved until about 4 years before I was born. Now, my mom got saved as probably an 8, 10, 11-year-old girl. My aunt won her to Christ. But wait a minute. He hadn't spent one moment of his life with unsaved parents. I didn't grow up in a preacher's home. He did. His entire life is he's grown up in the ministry, so to speak. So he's had a much different upbringing than even I had. Does that make sense to everybody? Now wait a minute. Our Christian life is much the same. There are people in this room that did not get saved until they were older in life. Brother Larry, I don't mean to embarrass you. How old were you when you got saved? 60, 65, 66 years old? You know, I don't expect God looks at Brother Larry and says, I expect as much out of him as do a kid that grew up in a preacher's house. Well, he's older. He ought to know better. Well, he hadn't been saved as long as he has. Now, it's interesting. Look at verse number 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16. The Bible says, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. Now watch this. That word line is the Greek word canon, and it's the only time in Scripture it's ever used. It's not something that you just draw and say, okay, there's a line. There's a line in the sand. No. That word line means a standard, a measuring tool used as a standard for all. But I want you to know something. Go back to verse number 13. But we will not boast of things without our measure or our measuring tool. But according to the measure of the rule or the ruler, which God hath distributed to us, the measure to reach even unto you. Did you know that that is our measuring tool right there? It is the word of God, not another person. Amen. Now, let me show you something. Let me show you what this means here. That line in another man's line. I have here a 35-foot tape measure. Brother Josh, can you grab the end of that thing and walk for a little ways? Not all the way, but just walk a little ways and, whoa, okay, let go back about your wife. There you go. Okay, that's about 15 feet or so, and that thing is a whole lot bigger than the average. Okay, it's bigger than a yardstick. Now, it doesn't fit in there. Walk it back to me. Don't just let her fly. I did that once and cut my finger, and you talk about a nasty paper cut. That will change your life right there. Now, wait a minute. I have here, come on back up here. I have here another measuring tape. This one's only a 6 footer. Okay? You can have a seat. That one's only at 6 foot long. Now, wait a minute. This one won't, it'll measure the same job, but if I had to measure this building with this one, it's going to take me longer. Say why? Because it's just it's an itty bitty little one. Well, then I have here a ruler. Now, wait a minute. All three of these are different measuring tools, correct? Okay, but watch this. Did you know that 1 inch on this one is 1 inch on this one? And it's 1 inch on this one, and they're exactly the same. Amen. They're different measuring tools, but they're identical in their ability to measure. Just like this book here. It applies to everybody's life wherever they jump in. Right. And it's the same measuring tool, the same measure, even though, for me, that's been my Christian life. For some, Brother Larry's only been saved 5-6 years. He's only a ruler right now because he doesn't have as much time in the Christian life as I've had. He's got to have time to grow thereby. Oh, some of you are that size. Let me show you what I mean. I'm going to use a couple of you fellas. Let's see here. Brother Juan, why don't you come on up here? Brother Josh, I'm going to have you stand up. Brother Larry, could you come up and could I borrow you, Logan? You're not going to have to say anything, I promise. Can you just come up here and stand up with these ugly guys up here? All right. Let's see here. Brother Scott, can I borrow you for a second? I'm going to have you stand between Brother Larry and these guys. Stretch out all the way across the platform here, except put him on the end so everybody can see. Okay. Brother Juan, everybody can see you because you're standing above everybody. Now, wait a minute. Watch this for a second here. Here are 5 men and a boy. Did you know God doesn't expect as much out of him as he does him? But wait a minute. Spiritually speaking, there's not a whole lot of difference between this man and that man. You two stand shoulder to shoulder. Brother Juan, Brother Josh are almost the same age. You, God expects more spiritually out of Brother Josh than he does Brother Juan. See, they're so close in age. But he didn't get saved as a child and grow up in a preacher's house. He did. And it's unfair to compare him to him, even though they're about the same age and look about the same, other than one's taller and bigger and smarter and wiser than the other. Now, wait a minute. Yeah. Did you know God doesn't expect as much out of Logan? Because he's just growing. But wait a minute. One day, he'll be up with these big guys. Hopefully not as much out here. Okay? Now, wait a minute. God looks at all of them differently. Then why do we try to lump them all the same? Amen. They're all different models. Some are bigger models than others. Some are broken down models. But wait a minute. God looks at all of them differently, even though they're similar, they're different. Thank you. You can all have a seat. Thank you. Now, listen to me very carefully here. So our standard for the Christian life is not another Christian. Our standard for the Christian life is to be the Word of God. Yes, sir. It is a rule or a measure that reaches even to our generation. Now watch this. Very unfair for you, Brother John, to look at Logan and say, how come you're not like Wyatt? And it's very unwise for the Barneses to say, how come you're not like Logan? Mm-hmm. They are not the standard. This is the standard. We're not to compare ourselves to someone else. Well, I wish my wife or my husband were like so-and-so. You're looking at the wrong ruler. I wish I were more like so-and-so. You're comparing yourself to the wrong ruler. We're to be looking at the word of God and compare ourselves to the Bible, not to another Christian. Why? Because we're all sinners. We're all flawed. Amen. Now, listen to this very carefully here. You can have any size measuring tool, but they're going to measure the same thing. I could measure the entire property with a yardstick. It's going to take me a long time. But I could do it. And for some, that's the Christian life. Eventually you grow up and you start using one of these. And then you get big boy toys and have these. And then you get construction size toys and it's a wheel. And you walk around with the wheel and tells you how big it was. You say, why? Because as you grow, you get bigger tools and the ability to measure more and more. Same is true in the Christian life. Quit comparing your tools with somebody else's or where you are in the Christian life. Just grow. Amen. By the way, people are not produced. They have to be grown. You didn't come out when you were born ready for action. Now, we all went through the same process, pretty much so. But did you know no two babies are exactly alike, even if they're twins? Amen, Mrs. Shoebridge. There's slight differences. And each one is different. Now, let me help you show you a couple things in here. Number one, God commands us to grow in the Lord, not be produced, but grow. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 18. Last verse, right before the book of 1 John. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 says, but grow in grace. He didn't say that we're all going to be in the same place. He didn't say that we're all going to be on the same line on the measuring tool, because guess what? Where Logan jumped in is far later than where Brother Larry jumped in. But where Brother Larry jumped in age-wise, he still has as much to grow as Logan does. So be careful. 2 Peter chapter 2, go back just a couple, page or so. 2 Peter chapter 2. But there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring damnable heresies, and even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Watch this. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And that is not the verses I wanted. I think it might be 1 Peter chapter 2. Hang on here. Even though those were good verses. Yep, it was 1 Peter chapter 2. Can't fold anybody but me, but let me fix it. Wherefore, laying aside all with all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envyings and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Can I tell you something? There are grown adults who get saved later in life, and they are becoming babies spiritually, and they have to go through the growing process as a Christian. Now, they may be able to speed it up some because they have a physical maturity and a mental maturity, but may I say this, nobody grows at the same rate. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Boy, this is good stuff. I want to help you. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, look at verse number 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes or babies in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hither 2, you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for yet ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying, strife, divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am Apollos, are ye not carnal? Now look at me for a moment here. Just as everybody doesn't grow up the same in life, our saved life will be much different from person to person. I got saved as a very young child, but my upbringing has been much different than his, even though he got saved as a child in life. We got saved in different venues and different veins of Christianity, so to speak, and things are different. My life in ministry is different than his. Why? He's not me and I'm not him. You see, we all have different birthdays. Brother Barnes just had his birthday. Kirsten just had a birthday. Miss Wally's birthday's not till July. I won't tell you how old she is, but she's older than Kirsten. Let's see here. My birthday is in May. Brother John, when's your birthday? October. Guess what? We're all human beings. The fact that we don't have the same date as our birthday, does that make us not the same? We're all humans. So just because we have a different birth date, by the way, just because you have a different spiritual birth date doesn't mean that you're not a Christian. We're all born in different years. Just because somebody's born in a different year doesn't mean they're not a Christian. We all have different family dynamics that cause differences. Brother Harry wasn't brought up the same way Miss Kathy was brought up. She dipped and chewed and he smoked. No. Now, wait a minute. They had different family dynamics. Just seeing if you're awake, all right? By the way, did you know we all have different bodies and don't look alike? Thank God. Now, twins can look very similar, but even they have differences. Just because somebody doesn't look like, wasn't born on the same day as I was, in the same year, in the same hospital, doesn't mean that they're not human beings. So why is it that we as Christians look at other Christians and say, because you're not exactly like me, you might not be saved? Boy, that's very unfair, isn't it? I'm going to tell you something. Did you know that every Christian has two natures? Listen to this statement. Don't think that I'm going to be pharisaical here. I'll clarify it. We all have different eternal genetics because of our old nature. We all have the same father, but all of us have a second nature that interrupts those eternal genetics a little bit. It doesn't change our standing with God because he puts his genetics in us. But watch this. How much of the old nature we let control our lives does have bearing on our eternal genetics a little bit, and how much reward we get in heaven and how we live here. It doesn't change being saved. Listen to what I just said. Has nothing to do with you being saved. But guess what? God doesn't look at every one of us identically the same because we all have an old nature.
Right.
Now, all of us enter the Christian life at a different place. But just like being born, Brother Josh, your little one that was just born, and Miss Heather, yours is it was just born, and Brother John. Sorry. Those babies were born into this world at a different place than Brother Larry was born into. Does it make them less of a person? No. Guess what? People get saved at different stages too. And they need time to grow. In 70 years or so, be like Brother Larry. But it's going to take a while to get there. Long while. Amen, Brother Larry. now, Miss Sherry, he robbed the cradle. She's only 40. But they've been married 50 years plus, but she's only 40 years old. Now, God commands us to grow, but he doesn't say that we're all going to grow the same. And this is to be our measure, our measuring tool, our tape measure or our ruler, not another Christian. Amen. Do you know you're not supposed to compare your Christian life to my life? Right. Tell you why. Not many people get to spend their whole life doing nothing but being in the Word of God, being a preacher, living in the Christian world. It's very unfair of you ladies to look at your husbands and say, I wish you were more like preacher in this area. I'll show you a couple areas you don't want them to be more like. Very unfair of you men to compare your wife to my wife because she spent her whole life in the Christian life and in the ministry as an adult. It's very unfair for you to say, I wish you was like Mrs. Bush in this area or any other Christian. Boy, that's good stuff. Amen. God doesn't command you to produce. He commands you to grow. God knows if we grow, then production will come. Do you know if you plant a field of corn, every stalk is different? And did you know that every ear of corn on those stalks is different? And every kernel on every ear of corn is different. You could plant an entire 40-acre field of corn, and the production in that field varies by many variables. How good the soil is, how wet it is, how shaded it is, how much sunshine it gets, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So not every not every stalk of corn is going to be exactly the same in production, in looks, but they're all going to be corn. Now listen, God does not want us to compare everyone in the Christian life by where or how we got in or when we got in. In other words, we're all different and not supposed to be the same. That's the difference between God's way and a liberal's way. Amen. The liberal world is telling you we all ought to be the same. Let's raise the minimum wage to $15 so everybody can have the same. By the way, you have people in our Congress who are pushing for a global economy to where everybody in the world makes the same all over the world. That's called unification, not unity. That's turning people into robots. That's why you have the LGBTQ alphabet soup people that want to confuse everybody so that everybody's the same and it doesn't matter. That's not true. So, God says he wants us to grow, and we're commanded to grow in the Lord. We're not supposed to be all the same. Number two, then how do we grow? This is a very simple sermon, but I want to help you. People grow as humans with four basic things. I can show you how you can grow a human with basically four things. You need food, nutrition. You need training, education. Not just education at school, but training. You need cleanliness and you need family. You can't birth a child and walk away and let it grow itself. Now, there are days you'd like to walk away from it. There's days, as my dad would say, I brought you into the world, I can take you out. Oh, I heard that more than one time in my life. And then a couple times I thought he was serious. There was a few times I thought he was trying it. But he didn't. But you basically need food. You need training and education. You need cleanliness. And you need family. Family would incorporate a house and that type of thing. But you need all of those things. That's how you grow a human. You say, well, they need this. And no, it doesn't take a village. Right. Hillary's wrong. Right. That's communism. That's not true. Hate to disappoint you. But all of those things contribute to the growth of a human being. Plants need four things in which to grow. They need light, they need soil, they need water, and they need warmth. You can go out and plant corn right now, but it isn't going to grow. It's going to get sunlight. It'll have soil, but it will not grow because it doesn't have the warmth that it needs. It's even going to get water. Snow will melt. But can I tell you something? It won't grow because it has to have all four of those things for it to germinate and grow. They plant something called winter wheat. They'll plant it in the fall. It'll grow. And as soon as the frost hits, it quits growing. But as soon as the ground warms up just enough in the spring, it takes off and starts growing again. What you don't realize is wheat is grass. That's all it is. Corn is grass. So it grows as the grass grows. Now, it produces kernels and things that we can use that is productive in our world for food. I don't suggest going out in your yard and mowing by eating it. Right? Different kind of grass. Now, you could, but I don't want to be around afterwards. All right? But a plant needs light, it needs soil for nutrition, needs water, and it needs warmth. People need food or nutrition, training and education, cleanliness, and family. Did you know that the Christian needs four things to grow? For you to grow as a Christian, you need four things. Let me show you what it is. Turn to Job 23. Job 23, the Bible says this in verse number 12. You mean you're not there yet? You didn't have pre-marked in your Bible? Job 23, verse number 12. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. The commandment of his lips. That is the speaking of the word of God, right? I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. So God says one of the things that the Christian needs to grow is the Bible. You will not grow without the word of God. Amen. By the way, you need the words of his mouth, not the words of man's mouth. Amen. That's why somebody using the wrong Bible will not grow as a Christian. That's why somebody in a church or reading material that is not God's words, and I'm not saying you can't read something outside of the Word of God, but if they're claiming to be spiritual and talking about the Word of God, if they're using the wrong Bible, you won't grow by it. Right. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 2, we saw that it talks about as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word of God. The milk of the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 2 talks about that there are some that get milk and can't be fed with meat. Notice God said meat, not vegetables.
Amen.
Glory to God. God didn't spare plants on the ark. He put critters on there so we could eat them. Amen. Mm-hmm. God gave us milk, he gave us meat, he gave us bread. Matter of fact, he also gave us light. Psalm 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So we need the nutrition of the word of God. It is our necessary food. Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Not just physical bread, but we need spiritual bread. We need milk. We need meat. We need that balanced diet of the word of God to have a good, growing Christian life.
Amen.
Let me ask you a question. How many calories are you taking in every day by the word of God? Some of you wonder why you run around anemic and weak because you haven't put anything in the tank to become spiritual in your growth. But it takes more than that. According to Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 25, and forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, God established the church as a place of training so that we could grow and fellowship and get the strength needed to make it in this world. God knew just fellowshipping out in the world was not enough, and you'll not make it as a Christian. Amen. Did you know that this is the most normal place in the world? Is the church supposed to be? Come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Now wait a minute. We have to live in the world. You work around the world. You work around the cursing and the swearing and the rock music and the immorality and all the things that people talk about and all the negative and the evil and everything else. But God says, if you'll come out of that and assemble at the church around saved people and not talk about those nasty things and hear the word of God taught and the word of God preached, you'll be strong enough to go back out there and make it in that world and not be a depressed, weird out Christian.
Amen. That's good.
Boy, I'm having fun. We're supposed to read and study the Bible, 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But God didn't say you're supposed to be a self-taught person. Where are you going to study? How are you going to learn to study? You're going to have to hear it taught and preached so that you can read it and study it. I hear this regularly. It's one of those statements that I hear. It's meant as a compliment, but I almost weep every time I hear it. I hear people say, "Preacher, I've learned more Bible in one sermon that you preach than I learned in a year in another church or 10 years in another church, or I even learned at a liberal seminary somewhere." That grieves me. I'll promise you, I'll feed you the Word of God so that you can go back and study it on your own. So that you can take it and tear it apart. I don't want you to be a Christian like me. I want you to be a Christian like God wanted you to be.
Amen.
I don't say, look at me. I say, look at he. We're supposed to be studying the word of God. Church is not supposed to be a college class filling a notebook. I'm for learning things for knowledge's sake. But may I say this? If you can't use it, what good is it? Christianity is to be practical, not ethereal. That means intellectual. In a world of just intellect, knowing something of a higher use. But if it's not used, what good was knowing it?
That's right.
What good is knowledge if you never use it?
Amen.
Well, it's self-edification. My Bible says we're supposed to be humble in the sight of God, not lifting ourselves up. Quit trying to edify yourself. How about you fall on your face in front of a holy God, in front of a church full of people at an altar and say, "Oh God, allow the Holy Spirit to work on me and change me." I learned a long time ago, when I quit thinking I know something, I learn a whole lot more. We humans have arrived and we know so much. And look at the destruction we're doing. What sense does it make to tear down the border wall and build a wall around the Capitol building? By the way, building a wall around the Capitol is illegal according to the Constitution. That's the people's house.
Right.
If they build it, we have the right to tear it down. I'm not saying go tear it down. We have isn't it amazing? They're against a wall to keep illegal aliens out, but they're for a wall to keep the American citizens out of the business of the American citizen's life. Something's wrong, Houston. It's dangerous that we have a president who has signed over 40 executive orders and is ruling like King John. President can't make law. That's got to go through Congress.
Amen.
Don't care which president it is,
right,
including President Trump. You can't rule by executive order.
Amen.
Everybody doing all right? So a Christian needs nutrition, which is the Word of God. He needs training, which is church and other Christian people. Can I tell you something? The closest people to you ought to be other good Christians.
Amen.
Then the Bible says we need cleanliness, purity. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, look at verse number 12. These things command and teach. Now look at me. We talk about the Ten Commandments. Those were civil law. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 11. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 11. We talk about the Ten Commandments. That's just civil law. When God talks about spiritual things to command and teach, don't you think it's pretty important? Okay, so what are we supposed to command and teach? Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity or in love, in spirit, in faith. What's the last word? In purity. Boy, everybody look at me. America needs a good dose of purity. Cleanliness. Purity of life, purity of morality. I believe that a Christian ought to have a clean body, a clean house, just not just the house you live in, but the house that God lives inside you in. What know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God? Now watch this. Therefore glorify God in your body, which is God's. Are you taking care of your body the way God would want you to take care of it? Is it clean? What you put into it, is it clean? Is it pure? Is it right? God says we are supposed to live in a pure fashion. A couple pages over, Titus chapter 1. For 2 Timothy, Titus. Titus chapter 1, look at verse number 15. Under the pure, all things are pure. But under them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. Look at me. The evil and the unpure politicians of D.C. look at Christians and say they have bad motives. They called President Trump a narcissist. Why? Oh, he's just lifting himself up. He thinks he's the only one that could be right. You know your enemy by how they attack you. Say, why do they say that? Because if they had the power he has, that's what they would be doing. And look at them now.
Right.
I'm going to mention a name, and I hope it twists somebody's tail. Katie Couric is an antichrist, evil witch.
Amen.
Pretty Miss Katie Couric? Katie Couric with Bill Maurer said just recently in the last couple weeks, Bill Maurer said, what about these idiot Republicans that are voting the way President Trump said, and will even want to bring guns to the floor of Congress? She said they're listening to conservatism too much. They're listening to their constituents, and we need to deprogram their brains. In other words, if you don't believe the way the liberal agenda is, you need to be deprogrammed. That was her words, not my interpretation. I thought people in Congress were supposed to listen to their constituents. They work for us. We don't work for them.
Amen.
They want to deprogram. By the way, that's what the press is trying to do, is deprogram everybody. That's what social media is trying to do. That's why they want to kick everybody off. You say, well, the stock market, preacher. Yeah, look what they're trying to do to private companies.
Right.
Boy, that's big stuff. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8. We've read it. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, whatsoever things are pure. God says, think on these things. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Turn there very quickly. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse number 22. Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. God says as a Christian, we are to keep ourselves pure. Can I tell you something? You can't drink poison and be pure. You can't drink dirty, muddy water and be pure. In the old days, in the poor days, during the depressions, they'd have a number two tub, a wash tub. And a family would put hot water and soap in there, and Dad would get in first and bathe. They'd add a little bit more hot water, and Mama would get in and then bathe. Not change the water, just add a little bit. Imagine you being the fourth or fifth one to get in that old dirty water after everybody else has bathed. You don't know whether to get in or just be dirty the rest of your life. That's the way too many people are living their Christian life. They just keep adding a little clean water to the dirty water and think that they're pure. No, 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 no. Change the water. Why do we want to sit there and say, well, I can get some good out of this? No, you're just sucking down dirty water. So the Christian needs nutrition. The Word of God needs training. That's the church and Christian friends and family. Number three, they need cleanliness and purity. And number four, they need, by the way, you can still eat the fruits or vegetables that have bad spots on them. How many of you ever had bit into an apple and had a bad spot in it? All right, you just cut the bad spot out and eat around it. Now, if you bite into the apple and there's only half a worm in there, you might want to spit it out. All right, you might want to check it. But did you know you can cut a bad spot out and still eat the fruit? Watch this. Did you know you can have kind of rust spots on a bean or something and cut that rust spot out and not have to throw the whole thing away?
That's right.
Guess what? We Christians have bad spots. Doesn't mean you throw them away. You just get rid of the bad spot and keep on going. You know, sometimes we have to accept the fact that people aren't perfect. I know that's hard for you to accept about yourself. But may I say something? Aren't you glad God didn't throw you out because you had a flaw? Then why are you comparing everybody to you? Next, family. Turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Christian needs good Christian family, just like a person needs family. Ephesians chapter 3, look at verse number 15. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Huh. John chapter 1, don't take time to turn there. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Did you know the moment you got saved, you got adopted and born into the family of God? And even though you may not have much family down here that understands you, you got a big whopping family in heaven just awaiting on you. Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, I'm going to read just a few more verses and I promise you I'm almost done. Romans chapter 8, look at verse number 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Guess what? That means whoever is led by the Spirit is part of the family of God, correct? For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also be glorified together. Can I tell you something? Not only were you born into the family of God, but you were adopted into the family of God. Josh and Ruth Ann are starting the process of fostering children and eventually adoption. I've told them both. My wife has said this, and I haven't even asked my wife about it, but I know her well enough to know she said it. Do you know those children will be as much our grandchildren as if they were blood related? Sure. Say why? They're going to be part of our family. They're going to sit at my table whether they have my bloodline or not. Don't give a rip. They won't be treated any differently than if they're biologically ours or not. Say why? Isn't that the way it's supposed to be? By the way, you can ask my daughter-in-law. She's not my daughter-in-law. She's my daughter. She gets treated the same way. Matter of fact, she's meaner when she's playing games. She picks on me too much. You ought to pray for me. She gets this impish smile. Okay, Dad, yours. Ugh. I love it. Say, why is that? Because we're family. The Christian life is supposed to be that way. That means whoever walks through that door and gets saved, we're to adopt them as our family. By the way, if they leave for a while and come back broken up, they're still our family. Amen. We're supposed to love them, not look down on them. Well, they should have known better. So, well, what part of your life have you screwed up? So, we read in First Corinthians, I believe, or 2 Corinthians, or somewhere, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I've been in so many verses today, I forgot where it was. 2 Corinthians 10, that we're not to compare ourselves among ourselves. The rule by which we compare ourselves is to be the Word of God. We all enter the Christian life in a different spot. But listen to the statement. Do you know that we all have as much ahead of us as the other person does? Eternity's long. So let's quit worrying about where everybody enters the race. Little Logan, I don't expect him to have as much knowledge as I have. I entered the race 50 years before he did. How old are you, Logan? 7? 8? That's close. 20? I'm 45 years older than he is. I ought to know more than he does, but give him 45 years and see where he's at. I'm not supposed to compare him to me. God does not want us to compare ourselves among ourselves. We are not to be the measuring tool. The Bible is. Let's all just decide to grow. Let's allow everyone to grow and not measure them by our life. None of us measure up to the Bible. Well, I know my kids. I reared my kids, and they're not where I want them to be. Who made you the rule? Amen. Quit judging your grown kids. That's for God. Once they left, they're out of your ability to measure between them and God now. Amen. How about you look at where you're at instead of worrying about where everybody else is? You know, I'm for looking ahead when you're driving, but if you're looking all over the place and not where you're going, eventually you're going to have an accident. How about while we're going through our life, we quit looking around and just look where we're headed and realize I got a long way to go. And that will help you grow in grace. And let's not compare ourselves among ourselves and with each other. Let that be the rule, not us. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. I hope some small way you learn something about your Christian life today. We are not to be looking at our life and comparing us to somebody else in a good way or a bad way. We're not to let some other Christian be our rule. We're to let the Word of God be our rule. We're not to worry about our production. We're supposed to just keep growing, and the more we grow, the more we'll produce.